At 10 years old, I looked up to this guy I went to church with. He was 18 years old, and he was just one of those people that was just really an encourager. Oh, I didn't put that up already. Yeah, he was really an encourager. And so he goes off to college for 4 years, and then he comes back. And I discover he's even more an encourager now. And so me and him, we had a lot in common. Although I'm 14 years old and he's 22 years old. And so he comes back and he's pushing me to do things with him. And we start hanging out. And he's one of those people that just really encourage you. He changed my lifestyle. He changed the way I look at religion. And he changed my just normal day. He changed all of that. And so me and him, just we started to hang out a lot because we had the same goal. And as we grew closer together, we associated our friendship with another friendship in the Bible. And that friendship was Jonathan and David. The role that my friend played in my life reminds me of this man. The man I'm going to speak to you tonight, we're going to talk about a story of a man who was a friend before he was a prince. A man who gave up his crown, his right to be king. He gave up his honor to his father and his people, all for a man that was chosen by God. We're going to talk about Prince Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Sorry? Okay. Oh, so you guys didn't hear any of that? I got to start over? Wow. Okay, how about now? Am I on?
Am I on? I am. How about now? Okay, cool. All right, sweet. Well, I hope you guys heard the majority of that. But before we get started in this lesson, I just want to express my gratitude to be able to come back. I was an intern here this summer, as most of you recognize me, but I guess not all of you would. I was an intern here, and I really was encouraged this summer. I really learned a lot, and I was really encouraged by all the people here. And I'm excited to be able to be back at this congregation, to be able to speak to you guys once more. In this lesson, I'll be sharing with you the story of a prince, a soldier, and a friend. Oh, it vibrates. The first time we see Jonathan is in 1 Samuel chapter 13. It talks about the victory he had won against the Philistines. And that's where we're going to spend most of our time tonight anyways, in 1 Samuel chapter 13. If you're using a Pew Bible, that's page 234. 1 Samuel 13, starting in verse 1 through 4. I'm going to read that. Saul lived for 1 year and then became king. And when he had reigned for 2 years over Israel, Saul chose 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and the hill country of Bethel. And 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent home, every man to his tent. Jonathan defeated the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah. And the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, "Let the Hebrew hear." We see the victory that the Israelites took from the Philistines that day and how great of a soldier and a leader that Jonathan had grown to be. But Jonathan didn't just lead in this way. He just wasn't, you know, a glorious soldier that was able to fight and able to, you know, lead people. He was a motivator. He motivated people to be able to do things. This man was someone who could just motivate you to do something you never thought you could do. And that's what he did here in 1 Samuel chapter 14. Starting in verse 1. One day Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side." But he did not tell his father Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah in the pomegranate cave at Migron. And the people who were with him were about 600 men. Skipping down to verse 4, within the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a rocky crag on one side and a rocky crag on the other side. And the name of one was Bozes, and the name of the other was Sinna. And one crag rose on the north in front of Michmash, and the other in the south in front of Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of those uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with your heart and soul." And Jonathan said, "Behold, we will cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. And if they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in place and will not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come to us,' then we will go up. For the Lord has given them into our hand, and this shall be the sign to us." Notice here in verse 6, it says, "It may be the Lord that will work with us." Jonathan's faith in God created motivation in his armor bearer and in himself. He had this motivation to take out this Philistine camp. And that was the kind of man that Jonathan is. But Jonathan was also a champion in the armies of Israel. After he conquers this Philistine army, or excuse me, this Philistine camp in 1 Samuel 14, Saul passes this vow that says that no one can eat of anything because of this hard-pressed day that they'd had. But see, Jonathan was unaware of this vow. He was unaware that Saul had made this vow to the people. So Jonathan passes some honey in the forest. And that's what we're going to pick up here in 1 Samuel 14, starting in verse 24. And the men of Israel had been hard-pressed that day, so Saul had laid an oath on the people, saying, "Cursed be the man who eats food until it is evening, and I avenge on my enemies." So none of the people had tasted food. Now when all the people came to the forest, behold, there was honey on the ground. And when the people entered the forest, behold, the honey was dripping. But no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard of his father's charge to the people. So he put out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and dipped it in honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes became bright. And then one of the people said, "Your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, 'Cursed be the man who eats food this day.'" And the people were faint. Then Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land. See how my eyes have become bright because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today, if the spoil of their enemies and they had found. For now, the defeat among the Philistines has not been great." Notice here how after Jonathan tastes the honey, you can see how he immediately makes this defense for himself. Because, you know, one of the people is like, you can't do that, you know. Saul said, you can't take of any food today. And so he makes this immediate defense. And then Saul confronts him in verses 38 and 44. And I'm going to skip to that, 38 and 44. "And Saul said, 'Come here, all you leaders of the people, and know and see how this sin has arisen today. For the Lord lives, you save Israel. Though it may be in Jonathan, my son, he shall surely die.' But there was not a man among the people who answered them. And then he said to all Israel, 'You shall be one side, and I and Jonathan, my son, be on the other side.' And the people said to Saul, 'Do what seems good to you.' Therefore Saul said, 'O Lord of Israel, why have you not answered your servant this day? If this guilt is in me or in Jonathan, my son, O Lord, God of Israel, give Urim. But if this guilt is in your people of Israel, give Thummim.' And Jonathan and Saul were taken, but the people escaped. And then Saul said, 'Cast lot between me and my son.' And Jonathan was taken. And then Saul said to Jonathan, 'Tell me what you've done.' And Jonathan was taken. And Jonathan told him, 'I tasted honey with the tip of the staff that was in my hand. Here I am. I will die.'" Again, notice the change of attitude here in verse 43. "Here I am. I will die." Jonathan realizes that he disobeyed the king's orders. He humbles himself, and he realizes his mistake, and he admits it. In verses 45 and 46, Saul goes to kill Jonathan, and the people, they stand up for him. They stand up for their champion in battle. Jonathan was a well-respected individual. He was heir to the crown of Israel, and they were expecting to make their champion a king over them. But that's not how the story goes. God had a totally different purpose for Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 15 and 28, Jonathan's father, Saul, sins against God by not completely conquering the Amalekites. So God takes away the crown from his family. So Jonathan loses the crown because of his father's mistake. So we see this image of Jonathan in chapter 13 and chapter 14. We see how he's a respected prince. He's a soldier of God's army, a great candidate to be the next king. But that's not the destiny that God had for him. And so we see this major change. We see this major change in Jonathan's life. Jonathan was a friend. This is where we see this new character come into play. This new character, David. David was a boy. Most scholars say that David was around the age of probably 14 to 16 years of age. The story of David starts in chapter 16. And in chapter 16, we see how Samuel goes and he anoints him as king. And then we move to chapter 17 and David kills the giant. And then in chapter 18, right after he had defeated the giant, he comes to Saul with the head of the giant in his hand. And this is where he connects to our story. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, starting in verse 1. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. And then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor on and his sword, and his bow and his belt. Jonathan realizes at this moment that David has the same goal as he does. He has the same goal for God's people. And so Jonathan realizes that, and he makes a covenant to David. To prove to David, he gives him his supplies, his weapon, his armor, but then he gives him his belt. And at this time, to give someone your belt was the highest level of loyalty at this time. And that's what Jonathan did to prove his loyalty to David. As chapter 18 continues, Saul dislikes David. And so he continues to try to have him killed. And at this point in chapter 18, Saul goes after David and tells him, you know, you can have my daughter if you kill 100 Philistines. And so this is like, you know, the greatest trick. You know, you go after 100 men, like you're totally going to die. That's not what happens. In fact, Saul proves a point that he didn't want to know. David goes and he kills 200 Philistines. And that proves to Saul that God is with David. And that is not what Saul wanted to know. And Jonathan, in chapter 19, continues to honor his covenant with David. He speaks to his father about all the good that David has done for the kingdom. But Saul's jealousy in David grew. So Jonathan reminds David to be on his guard, that something could happen. David continues with his life in the kingdom until Saul attacks him in 1 Samuel 19 and 9 and 10. And I'm going to read this point to you guys real quick. In 1 Samuel, starting in verse 9 of chapter 19, then a harmful spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in the house with a spear in his hand, and David playing the lyre, and Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear. But he eluded Saul so that he struck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. You know, I totally feel like this is going to be one of my situations one day. You know, I'm going to find this girl, I'm going to make really good friends with her brother, and then I'm going to meet her dad, and then boom, there's a spear in the wall, and I got to get out of there. I totally feel like that's going to be an incident in my life. So David, he flees, and he gets out. He gets out of there. But then he remembers. There is this feast that the Jews had to take custom to. The Feast of New Moons. And if you're unfamiliar with this feast, it's in Numbers 28 and verse 11. I'm not actually going to go over that, but yeah, it's in Numbers 28 and verse 11. David realizes his place as prince, being at the king's table. But he was afraid that Saul, he might kill him. You know, if he comes back, then he's going to die. And so what does he do? He goes to Jonathan. He says, Jonathan, you know, I have this problem and I need help. And so Jonathan comes up with the solution. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, starting in verse 18, then Jonathan said to him, tomorrow is the new moon and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. On the third day, go down quickly to the place where you hid yourself when the matter was at hand, and remain beside the stone heap. And I will shoot three arrows to the side of it as I thought I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send the boy, saying, go find the arrows. And if I say to the boy, look at the arrows, are on this side, take them. Then you are to come for, as the Lord lives, it is safe for you, and there is no danger. But if I say to the young youth, look, the arrows are beyond you, then go, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for the matter of which you and I have spoken, behold, the Lord is between me and you forever. So basically, yeah, Jonathan is going to stand up for David. He's going to solve his problem, and he comes up with this brilliant plot that if something goes wrong, he's going to go and he's going to shoot an arrow, and he's going to tell the boy, if it's on the side, then the coast is clear. There's no danger. You can come back. But if he tells the boy to look forward and keep going, then there is danger. Get out of there. But notice here in verse 23, Jonathan reminds David, the Lord is between me and you forever. Because he realizes this could be the last time that he sees his friend. And so Jonathan goes to the feast with his father. And Saul doesn't realize it at first. But after a day passes, he realizes David isn't there. And he's upset. And he's mad. And so Jonathan goes and he does the signal. And David flees. Some time passes before Jonathan meets David once again. We actually turn to 1 Samuel 23. 1 Samuel 23, starting in verse 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord to help him find his strength. Jonathan comes to David as a true friend. And they reestablish their covenant there. And the story of Jonathan ends in 1 Samuel 31 in verse 2, when he died in battle. But he holds a legacy. He worked so hard to protect a kingdom, and his kingdom was intact. David was now going to take the crown. But Jonathan didn't get the crown, but he still honors the covenants that he made with David. And this is where it brings me to my third point. Jonathan was a man of honor. Notice, he loses the crown in chapter 15 and 26. Yet he was a prince and a champion. He was respected by the people. He could have pulled, you know, an Absalom and just tried to take the kingdom by force. But he didn't. He didn't let his pride of becoming the next king take over him. And then we see that he admits his mistakes in 1 Samuel 14 and 43 to his own father. After he makes a mistake that he didn't even know about, he comes clean. And he tells his father, I tasted the food. I tasted the honey. Kill me. He stands by David in the hard times. in chapter 19 and in chapter 20, when Saul is trying to kill him and things are going wrong, he proves himself to his friend. Although they were hard, Jonathan still proves himself to David, even against his own father. He realizes his place to strengthen his friend at the end. In 1 Samuel 23 that we just read, he comes to David and he strengthens him. He encourages him because that's the friendship they had. And only a true friend is always going to be there, even in the good times and in the bad times. And that's the honorable man that Jonathan was. David talks about this person in Psalm 15. If you have your Bibles, let's turn there real quick. I was reading this about 3 months ago, and it reminded me of Jonathan. I don't know if David specifically wrote this about Jonathan or not, but it reminded me of it, and so I wanted to put it in here. A Psalm of David, O Lord, you shall sojourn to your tent, who shall dwell on your holy hills. He will walk blamelessly and does what is right, and speaks truth to his heart, and does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own heart and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest, and does not take a bribe against the innocent, who does these things shall never be moved. Notice here in verse 4, but honors those who fear the Lord. That specifically reminds me of when Jonathan meets David for the first time. And he notices that David has the same goal as him. He fears the Lord. And that's where their friendship was made. That's where the first covenant that they had made was created. It's amazing what God can do through someone. Using Jonathan's motivational characteristic to help David throughout his first part of his life. And Jonathan had all these other skills, but God only used that one. And Jonathan did not let his pride take over him. He didn't say, well, I can do all this too. I either do all or nothing. No, what God needed, and that's what Jonathan gave. Jonathan lived his life as a man who gave up his crown, his right to be king. He gave up his honor to his father and to his people, all to serve his God. Tonight, if you have submitted yourself to God and are willing to give up everything to serve him, then you need to think about where you're at. Because in the end, God wins. He wins the battle of good and evil. And if you're not on his side, you won't make it. If you fall away and let your pride take over you, you have a chance to come back. And if you haven't taken on Christ in baptism yet, you have that option right now. We have water available, and we're able to do that. So if you have anything, please come to the front.